Okay, Boker Tov and Sohorayim Tovim and Erev Tov, or if anybody's Erev Tov yet, I hope everybody's doing well. I guess in Israel, it's almost Erev Tov. And I hope all is well. Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov, everybody should be well. Today's shiur is being sponsored by Joanna Bromberg and Naomi Bar Yam in memory of their husband and father, Rabbi Kenneth Bromberg, Rabbi Yekuti El Ben Ephraim Umalka Basha, and as they wrote to me, they want to sponsor this class because, you know, Dvarim was his favorite book. So I want to thank them, and I should have good memories, and we should have long life and all good things. Rabbi Liebtag, Bakasha.
What city? Where was he a rabbi? What city?
So that I don't know. If the Brombergs are here, Naomi or Joanna?
He was a rabbi in a number of cities, traveled around over the years. Okay. So most recently, or his last place was Clearwater, Florida.
If I
may ask. My father, all of a sudden, was also.
And since we're on the subject, go on, Rabbi, what did you want to say? I was going to ask the question too, but.
No, I was going to say my father was a small town rabbi also in Akron, Ohio.
Your father is a graduate.
A rabbi in a small town.
Joanna, your father's a graduate of JTS, right?
My husband was a graduate of JTS in 56.
So once we're happy, you don't mind, today's my uncle's yahrzeit. My uncle, Wolf Kellman, who I'm sure you know very well.
Your husband
worked in the seminary, was the executive director of the Rabbinic Assembly for over 40 years. That was the one and only job he had in his life. So anyway, so they are connected. So whatever, that's
absolutely yes. Okay. And I remember Wolf very well. Yeah, no, we were also in Pittsburgh for a number of years, and then in the Midwest before coming here to Clearwater.
Okay, so. Very nice. Okay, Jeff, happy occasion. Thank you.
In hope, in honor of the new government, and hopefully.
Once we're on the listen, miracles, you never know. Today's the Lubavitcher Rebbe's yahrzeit also. So I don't know, maybe it's not his yahrzeit, I'm not quite sure. But so you know, you never know with what surprises are hold. So Bakasha, they should be with great hatzlacha. And I think we should start the shiur.
Okay, we'll start now. Okay, so let me share my screen real fast, and we are. Here we are. We're shiur number 3 in Sefer Devarim. And today's topic is, it might sound complicated, but I'll try to keep it as simple as possible. The topic is, why and where is Sefer Devarim in Sefer Shemot? Or why, where it belongs in Sefer Shemot? Then he's explained the title, and then we'll get to work. Our study of the first two classes, we saw that the main speech in Sefer Devarim, chapters 5 through 26, that's what Sefer Devarim is all about. And the first speech, chapters 1 through 4, introduces the main speech. And the main speech is a set of laws that Moshe Rabbeinu received on Har Sinai together with the first luchot. That was crystal clear. We're going to review that in a minute. Now, if that's the case, that story of the first luchot, Moshe Rabbeinu receiving the Torah, the Ten Commandments, and the people getting scared, that story happened in Sefer Shemot. And therefore, it's only logical that the introductory story that Moshe tells in chapter 5 in Sefer Devarim, which is the background to his speech, should be somewhere in Sefer Shemot. So today we're going to look for it. That's all. We're going to do a treasure hunt and try to find how to put them together. Now, under the hood of this shiur is going to deal with a big question that comes up in biblical criticism, where the contradictions between Shemot and Devarim are so like obvious to the academics that they don't even ask that question because it's sure they're two different books. I'm going to try and explain how the books jive nicely together and how they fit with one another. And later we'll talk about why it's a separate book and why the style is different. But again, what I want to do is I want to find where in Sefer Shemot am I going to find what happens in Sefer Devarim. Okay, and then again, chapters 5 through 26 was the speech and 1 through 4 was the introductory speech. Now, just a quick review of what we saw in chapter 5 and then we'll get to the hard part. Moshe Rabbeinu, after quoting the Ten Commandments in Sefer Dvarim, he says, these Dvarim, these statements, of the contract of the Ten Commandments, God spoke to you from the fire, and he wrote them down on two Luchot Avanim and gave them to me. In other words, these Ten Commandments are written later in stone. Remember, that's the first 40 days on Har Sinai. Now we go back this story now in Pasuk Yotet is not what happened after he received this first Lukot, but after he got the Ten Commandments and began that were going to be written later on the Lukot. Says, when you heard this call from the darkness, when you heard God speak to you, all the leaders came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they told him, we saw God's glory, etc. And now we're going to die if we stand there anymore, because who can possibly survive all this? Pasuk Gimel. What did the people tell Moshe? Krav ata ushma. You go and listen at Kol Asher Yamar Hashem Eloheinu, everything that God wants to tell us. But to the very Leinu, you'll speak to us at Kol Asher Yidaber Hashem Eloheinu Elecha B'Shamanu Asinu. From now on, you go and listen to all the laws that God wants to give us. And anything you say in God's name, we will listen and keep. The good old Nasa Benishma, from whatever Moshe says in God's name, God heard this and says, great idea, Tiba Asher Diberu. This is what we all did in our first year 2 weeks ago. And God says they should always have so much fear. And now comes the most important part. Go tell the people. Go back to your tents. Shuvah lechem lo lechem. And now Moshe is telling the new generation, again, 40 years later, here's what happened 40 years ago. When you complained to me 40 years ago and didn't want to hear God speak to you directly, God told me, tell the people to go back to their tents. You stay here with me in Har Sinai. Vadabra elecha, I'm going to tell you, et kol ha-mitzvah b'chukim b'mishpatim, I'm going to teach you, look at this phrase again. I'm going to speak to you, this ha-mitzvah, this commandment, and the chukim u'mishpatim, the statutes and laws, asher tlamdim, that you have to teach them, and they'll keep in the land that you're going now to inherit. Meaning, Moshe tells the story that the laws he's about to teach are the laws that God gave him in Har Sinai together with the Ten Commandments. And now, right after that in chapter 6, what's coming up, Bezot, what's coming up in the speech, is the HaMitzvah and the Chukim Mishpatim and the duty that God commanded me to teach you to keep in the land that you're going now to inherit. Now remember, the most important part, which confuses everybody, had it not been for the sin of the golden calf, after we received the Torah at Har Sinai, the Ten Commandments, the contract, and these laws that come with the Ten Commandments, we should have gone directly to the land of Israel and become God's nation. There's no purpose in just staying in the desert for even a year, let alone 40 years. Staying in Har Sinai any more than it took to receive the Torah was only because of incidents that happened. Had Am Yisrael been ready to conquer the land, had they been ready and motivated to keep its mitzvot, they could have gone right away. There would not have been a need for portable mishkan. I'll follow Chazal. Ramban would disagree on that one issue, but we'll deal with that in a later share. What I'm getting at is that the laws that Moshe gets with the Ten Commandments ideally should have been kept right away, because Am Yisrael was supposed to go to Israel within a couple months of leaving Egypt. That's what God told them before they left Egypt, and it's the most logical thing to do. God took them out of Egypt to become a nation. Therefore, it makes sense that together with the laws that Moshe receives in Har Sinai and the contract, he needs a set of more practical laws of how to become that nation in the land, which we'll see are the laws in Sefer Dvarim. And that this was the introduction, and that's coming up. Now, in this speech, we'll spend a lot of time on this in our whole series. But again, chapter 5, this is the overall structure of the speech. Chapter 5 is the story we just read, the Ten Commandments, the introduction to the laws, and the story of how we got the laws. We're going to see the chapter 6 through 11 is going to be called HaMitzvah section. Remember, Moshe goes up to get HaMitzvah and Chukim Mishpatim. Now, the letter Hey, before a word in Hebrew, Ha, like the, you have the same thing in English. Sometimes it's called Hey Dia, or a definitive the, which is saying the mitzvah, the bo, the president, the, you know, when you're putting a accent on like the most important one, or a specific object. So HaMitzvah could be the mitzvah, small T-H-E, or the mitzvah, called He-Aidia, a definitive the. And that's the question, is this one major commandment or a general commandment? So what I want to claim is, HaMitzvah is referring to this entire section from chapter 6 to 11, which is all about the love of God and fear of God. And it's so important, that's what the daily Shema is. We're going to have a share later on the importance of Shema, but we see right away in this mitzvah section that after Moshe said Shema Yisrael right in the beginning of chapter 6, we have the big commandment, you have to love God with all your heart, etc. What I want to claim is that's the mitzvah, meaning even though all mitzvahs are created equal, that mitzvah is more important than all the other ones. Because without the right attitude, this agreement will never work. After the HaMitzvah section, which is about attitude, you can call it the Jewish thought or a way of life, then you have much more practical laws called Chukim U'Mishpatim, which are going to facilitate becoming that nation. Now, if I take a look in the speech itself, all these charts we can do later more in more detail later on. Look at this chart over here. And here we have how the speech works in Sefer Dvarim. We're going to have the first parsha Kriyat Shema, which we're all familiar with, which will introduce the HaMitzvah section. Let me get my little annotator here. This HaMitzvah section will be chapter 6 through 11. And it ends with the second parsha of Kriyat Shema. That'll be one unit. Then there'll be we're going to read this footer in a minute. Then there'll be a buffer. And then starting in chapter 12, we're going to have the Chukim U'Mishpatim unit, which will be the second half of the speech. Basically, the speech divides into two parts, the HaMitzvah section and the Chukim U'Mishpatim section. And we have to use that to match up with Sefer Shmuel. Let me just prove to you with one quick little read of why I'm calling the HaMitzvah section, chapter 6 through 11. If the fact that it begins with Shema and loving God and fearing God and ends with Vahayim Shema, which explains our custom that we read every day, I want to show you something. What happens in, let's go back to a Tanakh, I'm sorry. If I open up Sefer Dvarim, chapter 24, I meant to have one open. Chapter 11 in Sefer Dvarim, right after the last line of the second parsha of Kriyat Shema. Remember, L'man yibu yimechem v'yimechem, so that you live a long time in the land if you keep all these laws. When that's over, Moshe tells the people as follows, Kim shemor tishmrun et kol ha-mitzvah hazot. See that line, ha-mitzvah? Should you keep this entire mitzvah, which is what? Which I'm commanding you today, la'avat Hashem Elohim, to love Hashem your God, to follow his ways, and to cling to him. Then God will help you conquer the land. We talked about this last week a little bit. We used the same pasuk to explain why Am Yisrael has to know the laws and want to keep the laws to be worthy of getting God's help to conquer the land. And that's why the laws of Dvarim are preparation for conquest of the land. That was the topic of last week in Moshe's first speech. But simply I want to show you as far as definition, I can understand the word HaMitzvah, not as the mitzvah, but the mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? Loving God and fearing God and having the right attitude. That summarizes the first section, chapter 6 through 11. At the end of chapter 6, what's Moshe say? Because you're about to cross the Jordan River to conquer the land. And therefore, make sure to keep et kol chukim eilav et mishpatim. Once you enter the land and conquer it, make sure to keep these laws. What laws do you have to keep? That's the next chapter. One second. That's going to be chapter, why can't we see that here? The next line in chapter 12. Eila chukim ha-mishpatim asher tishmurun lasot. And from here on, we have all the chukim mishpatim. And that, again, we'll dedicate a whole shir to what's inside here. But we begin with the laws of our national center and then laws of our all the other national institutions. So what I need to do now is show you that these two sections of the speech are going to reflect what's going to happen now in Sefer Shmot. Let's go back to our source sheet. Here we go. Dvarim 3. So that's all of our structure again. Chapter 5 was the introduction. 6 to 11 is HaMitzvah and Chukim Shpatim in the last section. Now, I'm going to suggest that this is where Sefer Shmot happens. I mean, where Sefer Dvarim comes into Sefer Shmot, then we have to prove it. There's a parallel story in the end of chapter 24 in Mamad Har Sinai. Now, before we do the parallel story, I just want to review what's happening in Sefer Shmot. The first 18 chapters of Sefer Shmot, we get out of Egypt, we get to Mount Sinai. In chapter 19, we arrive at Mount Sinai. Chapter 19 is preparation for the Ten Commandments. We enter a covenant to be his people. Chapter 20 is the Ten Commandments. Then we have Parshat Mishpatim, a set of laws that come with the Ten Commandments about like a basic set of laws that they're going to have a ceremony with. But when all that's over, chapter 24 is a transition to the more detailed set of laws. In fact, I want to show it to you better in a, let me show you to first in a Tanakh, and then we'll, here, let me stop the share for a second and do it in a better way. Here. And chapter 24, this is an irregular Tanakh in the Hebrew. Chapter 24 has two parshiot, like they are in the Sefer Torah. The first 11 verses is going to be what's called Brit Naseh V'Nishma. When Moshe takes Sefer HaBrit, go to 24-7, and we say Naseh V'Nishma. We have a whole discussion whether this happened before or after Mamad Har Sinai. Those who were in these series in the summer, before Shavuot, about Mamad Har Sinai, we did that in detail. Most Parshanim take this story and make it earlier. But according to everybody, the last Parshia in chapter 24, verses 12 through 18, this one, according to everybody, happened after Mamad Har Sinai is over. So we're going to take this section and try to match it with Sefer Dvarim. Got it? Now we're going to read it carefully inside. After chapter 24 will be the laws of the Mishkan already, and a whole new unit in Parshat Truma. But we're going to go back, and we're going to try and find Sefer Dvarim in this last unit in chapter 24 from verses 12 to 18. So now we're going to read it in detail back on our source sheet. Let me just check real fast the chat. Okay, I'll check those in a minute. Okay, back to the share. There we go. We go as follows. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Ale Elai Hara, God tells Moshe, come up to me to the mountain, the Yesham, and be there, which means not for a day, that's for a while. God's inviting Moshe to come up the mountain to be for a while. But Nalacha, I'm going to give you three things. Luchot Evan, we know what those are. That's the first tablets. And the Torah and the mitzvah, which I'm writing for you to instruct them. Understand? God tells Moshe Rabbeinu explicitly. The contract is over. We made the ceremony. We said Naseh V'Nishma. We got some basic laws with Parshat Mishpatim. Now it's time to come up, and I'm going to give you something more permanent and more official. We're going to get Luchot Evan. We're going to get the contract written in stone and an instruction book, HaTorah. Now, I'll point out, I'm saying sort of in jest. It doesn't say Torah, it says Torah. What we call Torah, what we call the five books of Moses, is not what Chumash calls the word Torah. We're going to see this a lot in Sefer Dvarim. But the word Torah here is referring to something specific. Moshe is getting a Torah as a set of instructions. The Torah, a specific set of instructions, and the mitzvah, and ha-mitzvah, which God's going to write now for Moshe to teach them. Now, the question is going to be, what's the Torah and what's the mitzvah? Almost every parshan says something else there, which shows you how confusing it is. Is it referring to, because of Asher Katafti, Ebenezer says it's referring all to the Ten Commandments, the mitzvah taseh and the lo taseh, or the first half and second half. There's tons of different opinions on what they mean. I'm going to suggest something a little bit different today that will match Sefer Devarim, and you'll see why in a minute. What I want to say is the Torah and the Mitzvah are going to match the two sections of Sefer Devarim. Let me just finish the story to prove what had happened. Moshe goes up to Har Sinai with Yeshua, and he tells the elders, remember Valskinim Amar, stay here until we come back, and your babysitters are Aaron and Hor. If you have any questions, go to Aaron and Hor. That leads to the background of the story of the golden calf. Moshe goes up the mountain. The mountain's covered by a cloud. Kvod Hashem is in Har Sinai. And Marek Kvod Hashem Keshochel Brosh Ahar, the people see, like a fire burning on Har Sinai. That's what the people see. Vayavo Moshe B'toch Ha'anan, Moshe goes into the cloud, up to the mountain. Vayhi Moshe Bahar Abraim Yom Barbaim Laila. Moshe's on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Here's our point of departure. This story is clearly happening after the Ten Commandments and during the first 40 days. And here's the big question. What laws does Moshe Rabbeinu receive on the first 40 days? Because they're going to relate to the Ten Commandments, Luchot Evan, and there'll be a Torah and mitzvah. Now, when you study Sefer Shmot, if I only had Sefer Shmot by itself and didn't have Sefer Dvarim, I would say that the Torah is going to be the instructions of how to build the Mishkan, and the mitzvah is the commandment to build it, Because what follows from chapter 25 and onward, from chapter 25, we have six chapters of the laws of the Mishkan. And if again, if Chumash was in order and things were simple and I didn't have Sefer Dvarim and the story in Sefer Dvarim, I could simply say, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, come up to get Luchot Eben, which are the tablets, and the laws of the Mishkan, which are needed to house the tablets. That's pretty much the direction Ramban goes in. But Chazal don't go in that direction. In fact, Chazal say, Moshe Rabbeinu receives all the laws in Har Sinai, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebapeh. All the laws Moshe receives on the first 40 days. The only thing he doesn't get on the first 40 days are the laws of the Mishkan. You understand how it sounds really strange, but we're going to see why they say that. So again, Moshe is going up to get a set of instructions and a commandment that come with the Ten Commandments. It could be the Mishkan, again, if I only had Sefer Shemot. But again, other than Ramban, all the other commentators, and the main approach in Chazal is that Moshe Rabbeinu receives on the first 40 days everything but the Mishkan. What's the logic of that? Let me stop to share for a minute. The logic of that, I think, is simple. You always have to ask yourself, what should be happening? Before you study anything, what should happen next? Had Am Yisrael not sinned, what did God tell us at the burning bush? What did he tell Moshe? Tell the people I'm taking to the promised land to become my people. When we leave Egypt, the first thing we need to do is to receive the Torah at Har Sinai to enter a covenant. So it takes a couple weeks till we get there. It takes a month and a half or 6-7 weeks. We enter the covenant. We need to learn a set of laws, the laws that we're going to keep when we get to the land. But in theory, all we needed to do at Har Sinai was enter a covenant and receive the laws, learn the laws, study the laws, and then continue our journey, conquer the land of Israel, and set up the nation. Once we set up the nation, we can have a permanent house of worship of God. Because we don't need a portable Mishkan if we can conquer the land of Israel quickly and have a permanent Mishkan, a permanent Mikdash. That all would have happened had we not sinned. Therefore, what I want to suggest is that the main set of laws that Moshe Rabbeinu receives on these first 40 days should be the ideal laws that Am Yisrael would have had we not sinned with the sin of the golden calf. And hence there'll be a set of laws that are going to fulfill the goal of the covenant in Har Sinai, to be a nation serving God, to be a Mamlechet Kohanim B'Goy Kadosh, to be a nation separated to serve God, to make his name known. Now, if that's the case, I want to put these stories together and say that these are the laws that Moshe receives in Sefer Dvarim. I want to show you that the Torah and the Mitzvah are what we find in Sefer Dvarim, and I'll try to explain why in a minute, but I want to go the bigger picture again. In theory, again, after these 40 days, Moshe should come down with the first Luchot, teach the people the laws he got on Har Sinai, and we should have gone on to the land of Israel. That didn't happen because of Chet HaEgel. They sinned with the golden calf. The covenant is in question. And the rest of Sefer Shemot deals with renegotiating the covenant. The first Luchot are broken. Moshe prays for a new covenant. God agrees. And the new covenant has God's attributes of mercy. He won't be as strict. And the symbol of the covenant, the Mishkan, and the project of building the Mishkan. Moshe can't teach the laws when he comes down after the first 40 days because of the crisis of the sin of the golden calf and the broken covenant. He should teach it when he comes down with the second Luchot. And we're going to see that. In fact, let's take a look at it right now. When he comes down with the second Luchot, that's going to be in chapter 34 after the whole Chet HaEgel story is over. When Moshe comes down the mountain, now with the second Luchot in his hands, we're in chapter 24 in Sefer Shemot, chapter 34 in Sefer Shemot. Moshe comes down the mountain with two Luchot Avanim. Okay? Moshe didn't know his face was shining. Aaron and Bnei Yisrael are all fearful of him. And then what happens? Moshe calls them to break the ice. Aaron and the Nisim come to meet him. And now, Pasuk Lamed Bet. V'achreichen. After Moshe breaks the ice with the people, they're no longer afraid of him, even though his face was shining. All Bnei Yisrael come to Moshe. V'achreichen nikshu kol Bnei Yisrael. V'itzaveim et kol asher diber Hashem mito b'har Sinai. What does Moshe teach them? Moshe teaches them everything that God taught him in Har Sinai. In other words, all the laws that Moshe Rabbeinu received on Har Sinai that he could not have taught when he came down with the first Luchot because of the sin of the golden calf and the crisis, he teaches them when he comes down with the second luchot. That's what he should do. In the meantime, he's also going to command them to build the Mishkan. That's chapter 35. That's the next chapter in the building the Mishkan. But here in Sefer Shemot, I have the story of Moshe teaching the laws, even though I don't find out what the laws are, because we're just told that when Moshe finished talking, he put on a mask. So my claim was, is that the laws of Sefer Devarim are first taught right here, when he comes down with the second luchot, and that was the opening line in the book of Devarim, that Moshe taught these laws many times. And now Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching him the last time. Again, the reader of Chumash doesn't find out about them in Sefer Shemot. For some reason, Chumash doesn't tell us. We don't hear about them here. But Am Yisrael learned them here and studied them there. And they studied them many times, numerous times. And now in the 40th year, Moshe is teaching them the last time. So therefore, what I want to claim is, going back now to chapter 24, when Moshe goes up to get Luchot to Evan, the Torah and the Mitzvah, he teaches them to the people for the first time when he comes down with the second Luchot. But he doesn't, but they're not recorded in Chumash until the book of Devarim. I'll just share with you a real quick Chizkuni on the Psukim we just read. When Moshe comes down with the second Luchot, Chizkuni says as follows. It's nice and simple. What does he say? He says, make it a little bit bigger. Et kol asher diber Hashem mitoh b'har Sinai. I have it here in English as well. First, he makes a statement. All the mitzvot, kol the mitzvot shenemru b'arbaim yom mishonim v'arbaim yom achronim. All the laws that Moshe received on the first 40 days that he couldn't teach right away, and afterwards on the second 40 days, and all the mitzvot, all the mitzvot that Am Yisrael got were given in a very limited time period from the time he left Egypt, from Parshat HaChodesh, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, until we left Har Sinai in the 20th of Iyar. But the Torah was given Megillah, Megillah. The Torah was given a scroll by scroll, because when Moshe heard the laws, he wrote them all down, each law into a Megillah by itself. Basically, according to Chizkuni, and basically following the Gemara in Masechet Gittin, that the Torah was given a scroll at a time, a unit at a time, and Moshe wrote them all down. Our Sefer Torah that we have today was only put together in the 40th year. Kshabali patem min olam, and it was time for Moshe to die. Moshe, or God told Moshe Rabbeinu to organize the Sefer Torah like we have, and put the parshiot, he organized it together, not in chronological order, but rather the fias smuchin, or reading them from Moshe Deshur Rabbeinu. We reorganize all the laws, everything Moshe Rabbeinu received, we republish them into five different books. And every book has its own theme. So what Chizkuni is basically saying, that when Moshe came down with the laws, he taught them, but we didn't have what we call Sefer Torah yet. We didn't have, like, what we call the five books of Moses doesn't exist until the 40th year. In the desert, Moshe had units and units and units, Megillot, 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 and they're only put together in the final form in the 40th year. And therefore, in the 40th year, we're going to dedicate one book to the laws of Moshe God on the first 40 days that have to do with establishing a nation in the land of Israel. Okay, so let's take a little break here and make sure I didn't miss any questions. Make sure that was clear. Okay, we'll deal with these questions at the end of the share. And Tarshika, we'll deal with those later on, afterwards. Okay. I hope that makes sense now. So now what we have to do is try to see what the word Torah mitzvah matches in Sefer Dvarim. So this will be relatively easy. Here's what we do. If I go back to our, where are we? We had our little speech. Here we go. We talked about the mitzvah section and the Chukim Mishpatim section. So if the HaMitzvah section is loving God and fearing God, and the second section is Chukim Mishpatim, and Moshe go, and they're all follow the Ten Commandments in chapter 5. We'll go back to here again. We had here a minute ago. Oh, here, right here. We had chapter 5 was the Ten Commandments. Chapter 6 to 11 is HaMitzvah. Then if I go by process of elimination, Luchot to Evan is exactly my little marker. Here we go. Luchot to Evan is going to be chapter 5. The Torah, the HaMitzvah, I'm sorry, is going to be chapter 6 through 11. And by default, the Torah has to be the Chukim Mishpatim section. Okay, understand what I'm getting at? Now I have to prove to you that the word Torah, here's what we have to do now in the shir. I want to make sure, I'm going to bring which I think is a very convincing proof. I want to claim that Hamitzvah is simply Hamitzvah. That makes perfect sense, right? The same word. And the Torah is going to be the Chukim Mishpatim. And if that's the case, I have a perfect match. Then I have to deal with the question, why is it in a different order? We'll see why in a minute. But the word here, Torah, comes first. The instruction book and the Hamitzvah. Now again, I want to claim, Luchot Evan is referring to the Ten Commandments that Moshe reviews in his opening line, in the opening chapter. The Hamitzvah section that Moshe receives on the first 40 days is a section from Shema Devarim Shema, from chapter 6 to 11 in Devarim. And the Torah section is going to be chapters 12 to 26. First, I want to bring a little proof, and then I'll bring a strong proof. First, I want to show you that the word Torah can refer to the Chukim U'Mishpatim. All you have to do now is open up a Chumash. We're going to open up Sefer Devarim again and just read. Where are we? We want a Chumash like this. We're going to open up Sefer Devarim. And the first thing we're going to do is go to chapter 4 in Sefer Devarim. Actually, go back to chapter 5. This is the first line of the main speech again that we saw many times. Moshe calls Israel together. His speech begins as follows in chapter 5. We did this over and over again. Shema Yisrael el ha-chukim ve'el ha-mishpatim. Keep these chukim and mishpatim that I'm commanding you and teach your children. And then he told the story how he got them. But remember, the speech is primarily the chukim mishpatim. The mitzvah section is added. It was explained because it came with the chukim mishpatim. But the main thing they need to do are the laws they need to keep to establish the nation and the land. Hamitzvah would be the attitude. But the introductory speech, the introductory line of the main speech is Chukim U'Mishpatim. Keep that in mind. Now I want to show you that this is referring to the Torah, because where am I going to find Chumash's introduction to the speech? Look at the end of chapter 4, which is right before chapter 5. At the end of chapter 4, right before the speech begins, we have the famous line, Pasuk Mem Daled, V'zot ha-Torah asher sam Moshe lifnei b'nei Yisrael. What's coming up in this main speech? What's coming up in chapter 5? The Torah, ha-Torah, which Moshe taught b'nei Yisrael. Now, what confuses everybody is that we use this verse when we do Hagbah and Shul. So when we quote this verse, when we do Hagbah and Shul, it's a nice custom. We have the assumption that this Pasuk is referring to the five books of Moses. But in Pshat, it's not. In simple Pshat, it's referring to the speech in chapters 5 through 26. So it's coming up as the Torah, the Moshe taught b'nei Yisrael. What does it include? The warning, the Edot, and the Chukim Mishpatim that Moshe taught b'nei Yisrael when they left Egypt. That was in Sefer Shemot. And now in the 40th year in Ever Yarden, on the other side of the Jordan, after we defeat Sihon and Og, Moshe teaches them one last time. So again, the speech is introduced as, this is the Torah that Moshe is Israel, that's introducing the speech. That was in the end of chapter 4, introducing chapter 5. And when the speech is over, in chapter 27, what do we find? We find a slow computer. One second. Chapter 27. What happened to chapter 27? When the speech is over, we're not getting chapter 27. We'll stop our share. Here, chapter 27. Moshe commands the people, it's doing, when you cross the Jordan River, what do? Put up big stones. Now that I finished teaching you all the laws, God told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the people, after you cross the Jordan River, take all the words of this Torah and write it on stones in Har Ebal. And have a big ceremony there, put up, build a mizbech like you did at Har Sinai, and make shlamim and olot like you did at Har Sinai. And what do you write on these stones? I think that proves nicely that at the simple shot level, the narrator of Sefer Dvarim refers to the laws of the main speech, which are technically Chukim Mishpatim, he refers to them as the Torah. Now, to prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt, let's go back to chapter 4, which is, and switch pages, I'm not sure why. chapter, here we go. Here's chapter four. Listen carefully. This is, again, the end of Moshe's introductory speech. Batay Yisrael, you listen up, O Israel. Shma el hachukim v'al mishpatim asher nochim melamed etchem. Moshe is introducing the main speech. Listen to these chukim mishpatim that I'm going to teach you now to keep them in the land that you're going now to inherit. Don't add to them. Don't take off from them. Gives a little bit of a warning to make sure to follow them. Now listen carefully. This has to do with what we talked about before the shir started about being a light to other nations and how we have to behave. These psukim are super important. I think we possibly even read them before, but I want to use them to explain what the word Torah is referring to. Re'eh, Moshe is telling the people, Re'eh, understand. Limadeti etchem chukim mishpatim. I'm about to teach you now. I taught you in the past. I'm going to teach you now again. Chukim mishpatim. That phrase. Kasher tzivani Hashem Elokai. The same laws that God, the God's commanding me to teach you. Lasot kein beker va'aretz asher atem ba'im sham b'lerishta, to keep them in the land you're going now to inherit. Ushmartem basitem, make sure to keep them and do them. Why? Kihi chochmatchem uvinatchem b'nei amin. If you keep them, that will show your wisdom and your understanding to the eyes of the nations. Asher yishmon et kol chukim eile. Other nations will see how you keep these laws, how you act as a nation, how you serve God as a people, the society that you build, and the way you keep your laws. And if we keep them properly, they will say, they'll be impressed, they'll be in awe of how great this Goy HaGadol has a, right? How wise and understanding is this Goy Gadol. Pay attention to the phrase Goy Gadol that goes back to Avram Avinu. When God told him, Veschal Goy Gadol, this was the goal of becoming a Goy Gadol, being a great nation. Kimi Goy Gadol again. Asher lo Elohim krovim elav. Where do we find such a great nation so close to God? Like Hashem, our God, who we call out to him and answers us when we have a need if we keep his laws. And now again, umi Goy Gadol. Listen carefully now. Asher lo chukim umishpatim tzadikim kohol ha-Torah hazot asher nochim noten lifnechem ayom. Where do we find such a great nation who has laws that are just and correct? Chukim umishpatim tzadikim. Just like this Torah that I'm teaching you. What does this show you? That Hukim u'mishpatim are called the Torah. I'm simply using this to prove that the Torah here is referring to Hukim u'mishpatim that Moshe is teaching. Now we have a definition. And therefore, if the word HaTorah can refer to the Hukim u'mishpatim, as Moshe says explicitly in his introduction to the speech, and the word HaMitzvah is exactly HaMitzvah. Then when Moshe goes up to Har Sinai to get the Torah Mitzvah, he's going up to get these Chukim Mishpatim, which is chapters 12 through 26, and HaMitzvah, which is the laws of loving God and fearing God, chapters 6 through 11. Now, why different order? The main thing we have to keep are the laws. The specific laws, the main thing HaMitzvah has to keep when he comes into land are the laws, the very specific laws that we find from chapters 12 to 26. That's like Shulchan Aruch. Again, laws for the nation about your king and about your national center, about your holidays, about your judicial system, about your economic system, the whole Shemitah system. We mentioned these about how do you go to war. Keeping those laws will make you that great nation, but you have to keep them with the right attitude. So the main thing is the Torah, the instruction booklet. And then you keep them with the right attitude, HaMitzvah. So let's go back now to what I claimed in the beginning. Let's see if it works now. Where are we? Here we are. So when Moshe goes up again in Sefer Shmot to receive the Luchot Eben and the Torah and the Mitzvah, that's the Ten Commandments that we're familiar with. The Torah is going to be the Chukim Shpatim section, as defined in Sefer Dvarim, and the Mitzvah will be loving God and fearing God. Where do we find this in our daily life? HaMitzvah, which is the attitude to keeping the laws, that's exact the first that's going to begin with the first parsha of Kriyat Shema, second parsha of Kriyat Shema. It starts with Zahavta and ends with Zayim Shema. And the Torah is going to be the main laws of Sefer Dvarim that not only is mostly teaching now, those are the laws that are written in stone on Har Eival, and where we have a ceremony on Har Eival, just like Mamad Har Sinai when we first crossed the Jordan and entered the land. And every 7 years, if you remember back in chapter 31, in Sefer Dvarim, the law of Hakel, which I think we already mentioned, which is the last mitzvah of Chumash, even. Moshe writes down, "Vayichtav Moshe et haTorah hazot." Remember Zot haTorah? Moshe writes down this Torah, which is going to be written on Har Eval in stone. He gives it to Kohani B'nai Levi, who are in charge of carrying the Aron, which is the symbol of the covenant. And Moshe commands them every 7 years, during the end of the Shemitah cycle on Sukkot, when Am Yisrael comes together to be seen by God, what do? Tikra et haTorah hazot neged Kol Yisrael b'osneihem. That's the book we read at Hakel. In fact, we know in the laws of Hakel, the book that's read at Hakel by the king is going to be Sefer Dvarim. Hakel at Ha'am, gather the nation together, the women, the children, the strangers, everyone in the land, so they should learn and keep them and learn to fear God. And every 7 years, we're going to recreate the Sinai experience. That for those, the children who were not there the year, 7 years before, they'll learn to fear God, to be in awe and inspired by God. And if we do that, we'll stay in the land for a long time. So that was the, that's the key point I wanted to make today. If I want to find where Sefer Dvarim in Sefer Shemot, then I find it when Moshe goes up for the first 40 days. Now, what question do we have left? Why don't we have them in Sefer Shemot? Why do we only record them in Sefer Dvarim? So let's go back to our source sheet. Again, we had, this was the, this is the story when Moshe goes up to get them. This one, Moshe finally teaches them, but without telling what they were. Okay. And now, I'm sorry, we did the Chizkuni. We have to explain why Moshe doesn't teach them until now. So we'll do the Ramban's intro in a minute, but let me just explain it out loud first. What I want to claim is when Moshe Rabbeinu is putting Chumash together in the 40th year, you know, each book has its own theme. Because the first generation failed, and why the first generation failed, that's the underlying theme of Sefer Bamidbar. That's all the parsha we're reading from since the middle of Balotcha, from chapter 11, the story of the spies afterwards, the Mitonim and the Mitavim, and then the Meraglim, and then Korach, and then finally Moshe and the Rock. All those stories explains why the first generation doesn't make it. The failure of the first generation, and we're supposed to learn from their mistakes. And the book ends how the new generation gets ready. But because the first generation never fulfilled these commandments, and these commandments to establish a nation in the land are going to be filled by the new generation, Chumash, I guess, felt it was better to record the laws, not the first time Moshe Rabbeinu taught them, but the last time he taught them, for two reasons. Number one, when Moshe teaches them the last time, he's teaching to the people who are going to fulfill them. And number two, when Moshe teaches them the last time, like any teacher who gives a review class, as he teaches them, he gives explanations. He gives warnings. He gives them reminders. And what we're going to find when we go through the speech in Sefer Dvarim, not everything Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is 38 years old. Not everything is from earlier. The laws are 40 years old. But as he teaches the laws, he's going to give them reminders. Like, remember what happened to Miriam. Remember this. Remember that. Remember how bad you were with Chet Egel. Remember how you rebelled. As he's giving the laws that were first given 38 years earlier, what he does, he takes breaks in the middle and gives little rebuke. The same thing any teacher does when he gives a review class at the end of the year. Here's what we did. Here's the review. And, oh, remember, we did this. This came up and that came up and this happened and that happened. And those are the warnings. Those are the edot that we said in the introduction. These are the warnings and the chukim mishpatim that Moshe taught the people. I'll show you something really interesting. If I go back to, let's share my screen with Ala Torah real fast. Should be here. Ala Torah should be here. Here we go. That's not Ala Torah. I'll put it up over here. Sorry, alatorah.org. Let me stop my screen share and put it up properly. If I look at, there's a famous machloket in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim over what is the word Dvarim referring to? The computer is very slow today. I'll explain the machloket because you remember it by heart. Remember in the first pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, you have all these different places. You'll take my word for it inside. Elad Dvarim. Rashi says, what's Dvarim referring to? All these places, especially Tofel and Levan and Chatzirot and Dizahav, these are all places where we sinned and we got rebuked. He says, the introductory line of the book is, these are the words of rebuke that Moshe gave Am Yisrael now in the 40th year before they're about to go into Israel. Because the word Devarim can be rebuke, if you remember, real quick, we'll go to Hosea. How's that? If you remember from Shabbat Shuvah and from Shlomo Karbach, if you're old enough to remember his song. Remember the song, Chuy Machem Devarim B'Shuvah El Hashem? It's from the 60s. So this clearly is words of rebuke. Chuy Machem Devarim, that's rebuke, and return to God. Im Rilav Koti Savam V'Kaktov V'Nishama Parim Sfateinu. Chazal learned from there that Tefillah replaces Korbanot. But this means take words of rebuke to inspire you to do tshuva. Shuvah Yisrael Hashem Elokecha, do tshuva, take good words of rebuke and return to God. So therefore, based on this understanding of the word Devarim, what does Rashi say? The opening line is going to be, what's coming up in the speech are going to be the words of rebuke that Moshe said, because for the people who've heard this speech many times, the chiddush of the speech, like the laws they've heard before, the chiddush is Moshe's Musar. Ramban and Ibn Ezra say, no, Eilat Dvarim is referring to the laws in the main speech in chapters 5 through 26. Eilat Dvarim, later we'll see the guest of Ramban inside. This is the introduction, not to the rebuke section, but to the law section. Now, both explanations make sense, because to the reader of Chumash, the chiddush of the speech, he finds out for the first time what the laws were. But to the people of Am Yisrael who are hearing the speech in the 40th year for the last time, the chiddush of the speech, the novelty of the speech, is going to be the rebuke that that he hears from the people. Now, I want to share with you real quickly, because I'm going to run out of time in a minute. You already did. I want to show you the Ramban's introduction to Sefer Shmot, which sometimes is confusing. Okay. He explains as follows. Here's the Ramban's introduction to Sefer Dvarim. Sefer Hazeh inyano yadua shu Mishneh Torah. Everyone calls it Mishneh Torah, but it's known, but that was our first year. It's misunderstood. It's not a repeat of the Torah, but rather a set of laws that needs constant repetition. What's in this book? Yiva'er bo Moshe Rabbeinu, l'dor ha'nichas ta'aretz. Moshe is talking to the new generation. Rov mitzvot ha'Torah ha'tzrichot l'Yisrael. The majority of the laws that Am Yisrael needs to keep, needs to know. These are laws, these are the nitty-gritty laws that we have to keep to become God's people. Okay. Now, what's not in this book? The laws of Devarim, the laws about the Mishkan. V'lo yeskir bo devar b'torat konim. We don't need a book about how to bring korbanot, what korbanot to bring. V'lo b'maseh korbanot, okay? And not about Tumah and Tahara. Basically, all the laws in Vayikra we don't need here, okay? And a book about all the miracles that God did. That's the stories in Bamidbar and Shmot. Shkvar b'er otamam. That we have it already. And the konim, right? They're learning them. He says, Konim is Rizim, but I don't need a book that has to be repeated all the time. Okay? And they don't need to be warned all the time because their whole lives are dedicated to keeping Torah, so I don't need to remind them all the time. That's on their own. Aval b'Yisrael, yachzir ha-mitzvot ha-nogot b'hem. Am Yisrael has to learn and repeat all the time. They have to drill all the mitzvot, which are basic to their day-to-day life. Okay? And every time you add a little explanation, pam lo si pior to explain, okay, upam shlo yechzirotam, okay, brak lazir tiso brov hazarot, and also to warn them, right? To remind them what to do and to keep them and all the warnings, okay, kamosha, and that's why in this book we'll find many warnings about idol worship and things that they're bound to come into, and we warn them over and over again, tochechot v'kol pachadim, warnings and scaring them, asher yafchidotam b'chol anshei averot. That's why Moshe is so reminded all the time. Be careful what happened to Baal Peor. Make sure not to make that mistake again. Now, then he explains there's also laws here the reader of Chumash never read before. Like what? Like mitzvot of like Yibum and Din Motzi Shemra and Girushin and Edim Zomamin, etc. And then we explain why. We never had a chance to have them before. And here's what he says. Ukvar nemru lo kulan b'sinai. All the laws in Sefer Dvarim. Not the rebuke. Let's turn this off again. All the laws in Sefer Dvarim. They were all given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai or in the Ohel Moed in the first year before the sin of the spies. Because in Arvot Moav, lo nitchadshu bo ela divrei brit. The only thing that's new in Arvot Moav are not the laws. The laws are 40 years old. the reinstituting the covenant and reestablishing the covenant with the new generation, that's going to be new. That'll be Parshat Nitzavim, and that'll be the Bracha and Klalot and Kitavo, as he'll explain when he gets there. That's why he never says in the book, God came Moshe Rabbeinu, here's another commandment, Tzavet Bnei Yisrael, etc. Those were in the earlier books where God gave the commands for the first time. But why weren't these mitzvot written in the first books? He goes, like the direction we were going in, because the first generation never kept these laws, therefore I prefer to record them in their own book. So again, I'm just running time to show you. That's why I told Sefer Dan the most important book of Chumash, because it's exactly dealing with the main laws we have to keep to become God's people. Okay, so let me just, now, let me explain what we're not going to do today, because it's simply too complicated. We have to dedicate our whole shir to it later on. There's another candidate, like I sort of was leading the witnesses. There's another candidate for when these laws were given. I'll show you where that is, and I'll explain to you why we're not doing it. Man, I read the story in chapter 24, but when you read chapter 5 in Sefer Dvarim, there's another story that sounds way more similar. Let me show you what that is. We're going to go back to our source sheet from this one. We need this one. Okay. Remember when we did Maman Har Sinai in chapter 19? Remember, Am Yisrael arrives at Har Sinai. God makes the proposition, will you be my people? We accept, and then we have plan A and plan B for those who are in the pre-Shavuot Shiurim. And then we have going back, how close are they going to be? And then we get the Ten Commandments. In Sefer Shemot, when the Ten Commandments are over, listen to this story. This is in chapter 20, after the Ten Commandments are over. V'chol ha'am roim et ha'kolot v'et lapidim v'et kol ha'shofar v'et har ha'shen. All the people saw, like all the theatrics at Har Sinai. The people moved backwards when they heard this. They stood at a distance. And by Yomura Moshe, here's what they told Moshe. Deber ataymanu v'nishma. Moshe, we want you to speak to God and we'll listen. We don't want God to speak to us. That sounds just like the story written in chapter 5. In fact, Ebenezer is going to claim it is the same story. Everyone else would disagree. Moshe tells the people, don't be afraid, because God's testing you to make you fearful. So in order that his fear will be upon you all the time. And then what happens? The people don't go back to their tents. They stand at Har Sinai from a distance. They stand at a distance from Har Sinai. And Moshe goes into La Rafael, where God is, and continues talking to God. Now, these two stories are very similar. And therefore, Ebenezer claims it's the same story. On the other hand, they're very different. Because in our story in Dvarim, the people were scared of God speaking. And when it's over, God says it's a great idea and sends them back home. And Moshe goes up all by himself and the people are back in their camp. Here, the people are afraid of the theatrics, not of the dibor, but of the kolot and lapidim and the kol shofar. And they ask Moshe to God to speak. But Moshe tells them, don't be afraid. Stay here. Don't go back to your tents. Don't go too far away. Stay and continue listening to God. The people stand at a distance, but they don't go back to their tents. And Moshe goes, and therefore what Chazal did, Chazal take this story and put it between the first two and the last date. We did this year before Shavuot. So this story, which looks the most similar to the story in Sefer Dvarim, when we did this little sheet here, what the rabbis did, they took this story, where are we? This story here, this fear story that we just read after the Dibrot, which sounds very similar to the one in chapter 5 in Devarim. They say, no, it's a different story. The one in Devarim happened here. This story belongs between the first two and the last date. And that's why the first two were given in first person, directly from God. After the first two, the people got scared, and they said Moshe. And then, therefore, Moshe speaks on behalf of God, but they're still standing at Har Sinai from a distance. When that's all over, then at this point right here, it was... If I say F is followed by H, in other words, this fair story happens between the first two and last date. The story in Devarim happens after the Ten Commandments are over. And that's going to be the, let's stop the share here. Just take off the drawings. And that's going to be the famous Ramban on those Tukim and Shmot that we just read, Kalimran with Kalot. So Datan Farshim, that's Ibn Ezra, said this happened after Matan Torah, and it's the same story in Dvarim. He says, Vein kan dati, and he gives a whole bunch of proofs. You can do the Ramban later on. It's Ramban, it's a little complicated Ramban, but he gives a lot of proofs of why the story in Dvarim is not the same one in Shmot. And he says this is the, he gives, again, we don't have time to do them all inside, but he proves why it's different, and therefore the story in Dvarim happened after the Ten Commandments, and it's not, and that's the story basically that goes together with what happens in chapter 24 that we did in our shir today. Okay, I told you it was a little on the complicated side, but I hope it was clear that if I want to know where the Sefer Dvarim belong in Sefer Shmot, the best candidate is going to be the end of chapter 24, where Moshe goes up to get Luchot Eben, the Torah and the Mitzvah. And the Torah, again, is going to be the main set of laws in the instruction book that will make us God's nation. And then I'll explain to you later on why the word Torah, actually, all through Sefer Vayikra, Torah is a set of instructions to get something accomplished, like Torah Tamicha, Torah Ta'ola, Torah Tashlamim, Torah Tanazir. There's going to be a set of instructions to accomplish something. If I need a set of instructions, remember Horot, Torah is a set of instructions. At Har Sinai, we took upon ourselves to be a Mamlechet Kohanim v'Goyim Kadosh. How do you fulfill that? The laws of Sefer Dvarim will make us that Goy Kadosh. And that's exactly what Moshe said in chapter 4. If you keep these Chukim Shpatim and do them properly, you'll be like the other nations. You'll accomplish the goal of being a Mamlechet Kohanim v'Goyim Kadosh. Okay. Okay, so let me take questions now. I just saw Justin's came up first, so I'll work backwards. How can the documentary critics stand for the notion of Dvarim being removed from the rest of Chumash? You have to ask them. I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you what they'll tell me. They'll tell me the language is different, the style is different, the Mishkan is missing. Now, one person writing different styles, there's no doubt the style, the language in Dvarim is quite different than that's for sure. But one writer in one time period can write in different styles. And there's reasons for different stylistic writing. But there's no doubt it's the same, it's telling the same story. I'm just giving, I think, what I think is a logical reason why I'm taking these set of laws that need constant repetition and giving a special law because they're written in Har Eval, they have a special status. I think I have the problem begins by calling the book the second teaching instead of a set of laws that needs to be drilled. Remember, Mishneh Torah is not a repeat of earlier laws, but a set of laws that needs constant repetition. Mishinatam levanecha. But again, you have to ask someone who went to college, who took Bible, and see how they explained it. Okay. Where am I getting the second story that I'm talking about? Ah, that second story I was talking about is the one in Shmot chapter 20. I know I shouldn't have started with that second story. I told you I wouldn't make it complicated. I was just trying to be fair that I try to say that the story in Devarim is the same story that's in chapter 24 in Shmot. I was saying chapter 25 in Shmot. I'm sorry. I was saying that chapter 24 in Shmot is the same story as chapter 5 in Devarim, where Ibn Ezra claims that the story in chapter 5 in Devarim is the same as chapter 20 in Shmot. So I just wanted to cover my bases there. But I know I said that I did that way too fast. To do it right, I need a whole shir. I'm pretty sure we did that though when we did the Shavuos classes. Okay. Are there any other instances of HaTorah being Shmot and are there any other instances of HaTorah being between Shmot and so if you look at the word Torah, we're gonna dedicate a whole shir to that. But up until now, in Chumash, the word Torah never means what we call Torah. Got it? In our jargon, when we say Torah being the five books of Moses, that's never in Chumash. Never, ever. It's clearly the laws of the main speech in Sefer Dvarim. In Sefer Dvarim, it's clearly the main speech of Sefer Dvarim. That's like black on white in Sefer Dvarim. That's the laws that the king has to write because it'll be his guide. The word Torah we have in Sefer Breshit, Ekev Esher Sharam V'Kodi Matim Mitzvotai Kul Katai V'Torotai, which is a big machlok what that means, but it's definitely not the whole Torah. In Sefer Shmot, when you have laws of Korban Pesach, remember Zot Chata Pesach, Torah Achat Yalechem Lager Hagar. That was the same procedure for Korban Pesach is followed whether you came out of Egypt or you're a stranger, you're a convert who joined the nation later. Because even though a convert didn't come out of Egypt, and maybe you shouldn't bring Korban Pesach, what's the Torah say? Korban Pesach is brought even by converts. But again, Torah there means the procedure of Korban Pesach. All through Vayikra, you can't miss it. The word Torah means a procedural set of laws in the temple. And all through Sefer Dvarim, Bamidbar as well. Parshat Chukat, Zot Chukat HaTorah. So a lot of people misunderstand that opening line. HaTorah doesn't mean the Torah. There's a Torah, there's a procedure for making Efer Paraduma. Remember, the Paraduma, there's a procedure how to make Efer Duma. You take the calendar. That procedure is called a Torah. And in that procedure, there's chukim, because anyone involved in the procedure becomes tameh. Got it? In other words, anyone involved, anytime there's an avoda, anytime there's any temple service done outside the temple confines, it causes the person to become tameh. So because the paraduma is done outside the temple, the person doing that avoda becomes tameh. Just like on Yom Kippur, the person who sends a seer, if you're doing daf yomi, it's coming up in next week, or later in the week, in daf samach zayin. In the Mishnah, the person sending the Seir Lazazel becomes Tameh. The argument is when he becomes Tameh, only, you know, when he leaves the Mikdash or when he leaves Yerushalayim or when he throws it off the cliff. But any action done outside the Mikdash causes Tuma. The person, the par of the inside Chatat, the Chatat Lashem, the carcass of the animal is burnt outside the camp. Remember? The Chatat and the Seir, Ashuvat de Matnima, he takes them outside the camp and burns them outside the camp, and that coin becomes tameh. And the same thing with paraduma. So the rule of thumb is, any time that avodah is done outside the temple, it causes tuma, because in theory, no avodah should be done outside the temple. Sometimes for technical reasons, you need to do things outside the temple, and to make sure it doesn't get out of hand, it causes tuma. That goes to the whole question about what's called shchutei chutz, which again is chapter 17 in Vayikra. Okay, wouldn't the most logical connection to HaMitzvah be the closest commandment in Shemot to it? I agree with you. I'll explain my Pat's question. The simplest understanding of HaMitzvah is the laws of the Mishkan. And therefore, Moshe goes up. I'm thinking, that's what I said in the beginning. If I only had Sefer Shemot, Moshe goes up to get Luchot Evan and the Torah and the Mitzvah. The simplest thing is, the Torah is the instructions of building the Mishkan. Remember, Urei Vasei Asher Horeta Bahar. God gives Moshe Rabbeinu a set of instructions of how to build a Mishkan, and he commands him to do it. Remember? Like Chudi Truma, it's a mitzvah. So the commandment to build a Mishkan and the instructions of how to do it is the Torah and the mitzvah that come with the Luchot, because the Luchot will be in the Mishkan. The problem is, almost everyone holds the Mishkan itself is only because of Chet Egel. Not the need for a Mikdash, but the portable Mishkan. And it's so easy to prove when you study the laws of the Mishkan that they're a tikkun for Chet Egel. And we'll do that. That's a whole long class in Sefer Shemot. So again, I agree with you that the simplest understanding would be to put it relating to Shemot. What I'm claiming is, what Chazal claim, is that the law section that follows is not what Moshe got on the first 40 days. And it only makes sense that on the first 40 days, he should get the laws that are in Sefer Dvarim, shouldn't he? Had we not said with Chet Egel, there's no reason why these laws would be given later. These are the most important laws to become God's people. So therefore, even though book-wise it makes sense there in Shemot, it makes sense referring to the Mishkan, thematically, when you look at Mishkan and Chumash in the bigger picture, once you have Sefer Dvarim, it makes more sense that it's the laws of Sefer Dvarim. That goes back to the bigger question, why Chumash divides itself into five books, okay? Okay, okay. I'm totally confused as to which laws Moshe has brought down each time, okay? You're confused because so are all the Parshanim. Put it this way. Moshe goes up for the first 40 days. Logically, he should get the laws that Am Yisrael needs to become its people. So the laws of Parshat Mishpatim he received on the same day as Matan Torah, with the people gathered. And on those laws, we said, Nasa v'nishman, we had that ceremony in Parshat Mishpatim. But the more detailed set of laws of how to become that nation, that he got on the first 40 days, and the laws of the Mishkan he got on the second 40 days. So, but what laws he got when is a giant machloket argument among all the commentators. But we know he goes up two times, the first 40 days and second 40 days. We know we get laws once the Mishkan is built. What laws he gets when, Chumash is not explicit. I think the answer has to be based on common sense. What makes sense? What laws logically should be given on the first 40 days? And what laws logically on the second 40 days? And when you study the story of Chet HaEgel and notice all the parallels between the story of Chet HaEgel and the laws of the Mishkan, it makes a lot of sense that the laws of the Mishkan were given after the Chet HaEgel. So Chizkuni has, from iPad, so Chizkuni has verses to show when each book was received, written down, and taught? No, he just assumes that logically. When Chizkuni says all the laws were given, he's basing it on Psukim, it says they were given up until the 20th of Iyar because we leave Har Sinai in the 20th of Iyar and we should have gone right to Israel. And the whole purpose of Har Sinai was to get the laws we have to keep in the land. So he's saying it makes sense that all the laws would have been given before we leave Har Sinai. That's all. But he doesn't, but Chizkuni is based on the Gemara and Gittin Daf Samach and common sense. Let's go back. They only need a traveling Mishkan because of Madlim, I thought, not because of Egel. No, the traveling Mishkan we need because of Chet HaEgel. Because that's for sure. Because we build the Mishkan before Chet HaMaraglim. But once we sin with Chet HaEgel, I need a rehab project to bring God's Shechina back. Remember, Vasuli Mitash Vashachanti B'tocham? Once God takes the Shechina away, and we're not deserving because we don't follow God, to be deserving of that Shechina, Moshe prays and says, forgive them. God says, I can forgive them, because, but I won't forgive them unless they prove the deserving of forgiveness. And therefore, building the Mishkan will be part of the rehab process. Therefore, I need the Mishkan because of Chet HaEgel, not because of Chet HaMaraglim. Okay.
What I meant was, if they would go in right away, couldn't they just have built it in Israel? Isn't it because they were there for so long that they needed the temporary up and down and stuff?
No. Had they not seen with Chet HaEgel, they wouldn't need a portable thing at all. They could build a permanent one. And that's why Sefer Dvarim talks about a permanent Mikdash. Sefer Dvarim talks about a Mikdash, but a permanent one. HaMakom HaShivchar Hashem.
Right.
And after Menucha V'Nachala. Why build a portable structure if I can build a permanent one? Ramban's going to claim that you can't leave Har Sinai, you take it with you, you have to have it no matter what. But I need a Mikdash for sure. A Mikdash we would have no matter what. A temple where we serve God and remember our connection to God, remember Har Sinai, like our national center, has nothing to do with the sin of the golden calf. That's why we find that law in Devarim. The need for a portable one before we get to Israel is because of Chet HaEgel. That's all I'm trying to claim. And that explains why the laws of the Mishkan are missing in Sefer Dvarim.
And I'm thinking they only need a portable one because they were there for so long, and that was because of Meraglim.
No.
I was also asking about the Meraglim.
Listen, if you're going to be there for a couple of weeks and then travel to Israel, I need a portable one. If I'm going to be there for 38 years, I'll need a permanent one in the desert. You follow? I need a portable one because I'm moving from place to place, moving to Israel. So the second I leave Har Sinai and going to Israel to conquer it, I need something portable. But if I'm going to be in the desert for 38 years, I need something more permanent.
So you're thinking of the Mishkan as a permanent, not as a portable.
No. The Mikdash is permanent. The Mishkan is a portable Mikdash. But the need for a portable Mikdash only arises after Chet HaEgel. But it's not because of Chet HaMaraglim. You see, in Chumash, we have way before Chet HaMaraglim, we need a Mishkan.
So they were going to have one in any case.
We would have, had it not been for Chet HaMaraglim, we would have had a Mishkan no matter for sure. Had not been for Chet HaEgel, we would have had a Mikdash, but possibly not a Mishkan.
Where would the Mikdash be if they came directly into Israel? Did you know that?
It would be just like the Mishkan, but with permanent walls.
Where?
Wherever God, the Shama. That's exactly that. We have a whole share on that. That's chapter 12 in Devarim. I'll give you a whole share of why the Mishkan. Truth is, I have a whole share planned on this, so I'm talking too fast. But I'll do a whole share to prove why the Mishkan is not in Devarim. But why the Mikdash is? Because I need a permanent Mikdash, and the Mishkan is simply a portable one. But of course, you have to have a Mikdash. I'll dedicate a whole share to that. Okay. I think it's easy to prove. Okay. Lawrence now, Kaplan. to everyone. Okay, Brachot 5:8. Torah is Torah, Shabbat, Mitzvah. Okay, again, I told you the Torah and the Mitzvah in on that pasuk. Every parshan gives a different approach, which shows you there's no masorah exactly what it means. The fact that there's 20 different opinions in the parshanim, what's the Torah and what's the Mitzvah, that shows you it's open. That's it's not written in stone what they mean. I'm just doing an analysis, putting the books together and saying, I think it matches perfectly with Sefer Dvarim. Because HaMitzvah is HaMitzvah, and I proved to you that Torah is Chukim Mishpatim. I know my problem is I never found a parshan that says that. So I know that had working against me, other than what I think is common sense, but I always have that problem. No. From Arnie. Okay. Hashem tells Moshe to teach Edot Chukim Mishpatim, Mitzvot, and sometimes mentions only two. Okay. You're right. The introduction of the speech is Chukim Mishpatim. That's for sure, which is the Torah. But when Moshe explains when he got to Chukim Mishpatim, he says, at the same time, God also gave me HaMitzvah. Now, HaMitzvah is the attitude laws. I need that to make sure that I keep the Chukim Mishpatim properly. But the two separate entities, again, we'll spend a lot of time on that, those two sections, chapter 12 and 26 and chapters 6 through 11. Eidot, I think, means warnings, and we'll see that later on. Ha'idoti b'chem ayom et ha'shemayim v'et ha'aretz. Eidot can be warnings, sometimes it can be testimonies. The word Eidot can mean a lot of things. In Tehillim, Kuf Yotet, Eidot is the Torah, isn't it? Eidot Hashem Nemana, Machkim Atpeti, and things like that. But in Chumash, Eidot is usually a type of a warning. Like, Ha'idoti b'chem ayom et ha'shemayim v'et ha'aretz. Look at the Parshanim on the word also have a big argument. What's it referring to? Okay, and why is it written at? Okay, I don't know. That's poetic Hebrew. Why instead of calling Moshe at, it's at instead of at, but at the very leno, the people are speaking, I think, poetically. That's ask a grammar teacher, not me. Sort of be posted after. Okay, that's proposed. Okay, sources are, I always put the sources afterwards. A lot of sources today, anyhow. What you have to do based on four new messages, 1 second. Get back to the chat. People must be listening today for some reason. Ultimate chats. Okay. What's the new ones? Okay. Big sin to wander, wait 40 years was not Catholic. Big sin. Bhatti, I understand Bhatti's question. Big sin to wander, wait 40 years was Catholic, not spies. I didn't understand the question, Bhatti.
The reason we had to wander for 40 years was not so much Kedem Meraglim. Maybe it should have been Cheda Egel. The Meragli may have been the Makkah.
No. Chumash says no. 40 years.
I understand, but I think that's the question.
We've been very confused about this because after years of always hearing that the 40 years was punishment for the Chetze Meraglim. And now you're saying that that was totally irrelevant, basically was decided much a bit earlier.
No. The 40 years is because of Chetam Raglim, for sure. I think the need for a Mishkan is because of Chet Egel, not the need for the 40 years. In Sefer Shemot, again, I'm going to dedicate a whole shir to this later on. It's crystal clear the 40 years in the desert is Chetam Raglim. It's black and white. The need for the Mishkan, though, is not because of Chetam Raglim. The need for the Mishkan is because of Chet Egel. Because I need a rehab project to bring God Shekhinah back. Remember, Vasu the Mitash for Shachante. Okay, that's all. I have to do that shir properly. That's a shir on why it's not in Dvarim, why the Mishkan's missing in Sefer Dvarim. I'll do that in Sudar. I just did it way too fast tonight, and it needs a whole shir. Zotra Tanazir is another example of a procedure. Zotra Tachata, Hakna'ot, Basala Koina Torazo by Sota, they're all procedural. Now, why don't Bill Turner ask? That's a topic for Sefer Shoftim. They build a partially in Shiloh, they bring something partially because we don't reach Menucha V'Nachala until later. It was, why they don't build it and why God tells Sevi to wait a little longer? Shiloh is semi permanent and only Yerushalayim will be permanent. Basically, you don't have a permanent Mikdash until we have permanent borders. But again, we're going to dedicate a whole shir to the Mishkan and Sefer, the Mishkan, Mikdash, and Sefer Dvarim. Susan says, Ramban says it would have been a Mishkan anyway. That's right. Ramban claims, no matter what, we would have needed a Mishkan. Again, Chazal disagree, but Ramban follows the simple order of Chumash, which makes sense. But that's because Ramban says the Mishkan is a model of Har Sinai, and you can't leave Har Sinai. We have to take it with you. But you can answer, of course you need a Mishkan, but why build a portable one if I can wait 2 weeks, conquer the land of Israel in 6 days, and build something permanent? Well, I spend so much time. By the time you finish building it, you can conquer the land of Israel 10 times. So it can take 6 months to build it. Of course, it's important to have a Mishkan. But I can build a permanent one. Why make a portable one if we just have an 11-day journey to Israel and conquer it in 6 days? If God will send the Tzira, had it not been for Chet Egel, Kippur Shabbos would have been real quick. But after Chet Egel, we're not ready to go in the land yet. And that's why we need already a rehab project and a portable one. Okay. And Ramacha, what is that? And thank you. Okay, we can skip. Okay, and sorry. Okay, anyway, I went over time again. So we'll stop here, and I got to catch Mitra.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. And it was a bit on the complicated side. I hope not too bad. Next week will be a bit easier.
Only the last few minutes. I think the first 45 minutes.
I know, the last few minutes, 45-minute share I plan on giving later on.
The first part was very, very, but it's okay to be complex a little bit. It's okay. And even if people don't understand everything, it's also good to realize the complexity of Torah. That's also
an important thing. If you don't study it like 10 times over the psukim,
right,
you got to follow it. That's for sure.
Torah is not simplistic, so you got to have the chumash and listen over. That's why it's all recorded. People can go back, listen to the part they didn't understand, their review.
Coalition agreements.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, okay. All right. We'll see you next week.
Okay, with tefillah for good news in Israel. And,
we need for sure, yeah.
That was nice, yeah.
Okay.
Whatever the result, it should be good.
Yeah, amen. It should be good. Gamzula Tova. Yeah. It should be good. It's good to, good to change leadership every once in a while. Everybody knows that. It's not good when the same parties and that's just true about every democracy. It's always good to have changes. Anyways, we can talk about that afterwards. Anybody wants to stay on. Okay. Mark Shapiro did email just for the class that he can't make it tomorrow night. So the first time in a year, actually over a year, over Pesach. But so no class tomorrow night for Mark Shapiro. He'll do his last class on the letters he didn't put in his book. Right, we finished the book last week. We finished the appendix, and then now he's going to do the letters he didn't include in the book and why they're not included. And then in 2 weeks we'll start on Shaul Lieberman. How we started this original series, Great Rabbinic Like Thinkers. This has just been a year hiatus for COVID when he couldn't get all his research done and you didn't get the libraries, etc. Okay, that is next Monday night. So the next class for us will be Tuesday morning, Rachel Sharansky Danziger continuing her part on the development of the kings and storytelling and the rise of kings. And please God that those who weren't here last week, the end of last week, and those who are still left, beginning next Monday, June 21st at 12:15 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:15 in Israel, Rabbi Liebtag's neighbor, Rabbi Alex Israel, will be begin a 7-part series on the thought of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. So that's we're gonna post up soon, but just to let you know, beginning a week from Monday. Okay, so
Alex has a proper accent.
I'm sorry. Yeah, from England, of course. We couldn't have somebody not from England, right? He's
had to be British.
I'm sorry.
I had to recommend. He's great. Alex is great.
He's British. Yeah, he spoke for us before, of course. But yeah, he is British. So I think it's that's just an added little piece. So he knows Rabbi Sacks from England. Etc. Okay, and then we'll have our regular classes. Remember that Marty Lakshin is off for 4 weeks, so vacation visiting in North America. So anyways, but okay, we still have lots of Torah to listen to. And if you get tired, you can go back to listen to the 1500 classes we have online, the 1000 classes more before Zoom, all the Zoom classes, and we still have lots of interesting stuff, including Rabbi Liebtag before COVID. You can listen to him on Torah Notion a little bit. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful week and a good day. And thank you again to Joanna and Naomi for your sponsorship. Should have good memories, and a sponsor always should have happy occasions, and we should all be well. And thank you very much. Okay, let's have a good day.
Stop, Rabbi Liebtag. Always great Torah. Great Torah. Yeah.
Okay. You have to define Torah. Torah means, that you're using Torah in a different sense. right?
Not such an unusual usage, but it doesn't jive exactly with the Torah. That's true.
You know, no.
Torah is great.
The true matter is most people, they read the word V'zot HaTorah, assume it's referring to the entire Torah. That's Rabbi Lita likes to point. It's true. It does not. It refers to specific areas, just like the Parshiot. Doesn't refer to Shlach Lecha and Korach. It refers to those, you know, Parshiot, the 10 psukim, 5 psukim, wherever you have the stuma and the ptucha to divide the breaks. All right, everybody. Any other comments? You can say as you would like.
Even the title Torah in motion doesn't.
The title Torah in motion. What it said? That's a good question. Yeah. How does the name start? So there's a machloket how we came up with the name Torah Motion. It's 20 years already. And I think it happened, we were having a discussion in our living room. Somebody came to meet us. And we had just started doing a little programs here or there. It wasn't really an organization yet. It was just sort of, you know, I was doing a few things here and there. I think I came up, we were just talking. I thought that was an interesting name. You know, Torah is in motion. Torah is, if it's static, it's not good. It's got a, you know, halacha. It's got to move, got to go, got to, you know, be with the combination of real life, eternal values and constantly changing world. That's, you know, a Torah. So, yeah, but it's, what's Torah in motion? Okay. All right. Or Torah. Is that lots of Torah organizations.
We love Torah in motion. Great.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Have a wonderful.